नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय First Canto, Chapter 6, entitled Conversations between Narada and Vyasadeva. We are continuing with text 22. Please repeat responsibly. Sakrityat darshitam rupam. Etat kamayate ngaham. Etat kamayate ngaham. Makama shanakai sadhu. Sarvam munchati vichchayam. Sakrit, once only, yat, yat, darshitam, shom, rupam, form, etat, this is, kamaya, four hankerings, te, your, anagha, O virtuous one. Mat, mine, kamaha, desire, shanakai, my increasing, sadhu, devotee, sarvan, all, munchati, gives away, hrichayan, material desires. Translation. And purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON Paramahansa A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. Prabhupada's purport. A living being cannot be vacant of desires. He is not a dead soul. He must be working, thinking, feeling, and willing. But when he thinks, feels, and wills, materially, he becomes entangled. And conversely, when he thinks, feels, and wills for the service of the Lord, he becomes gradually free from all entanglements. The more a person is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the more he acquires hankering for it. That is the transcendental nature of godly service. Material service has satiation, whereas spiritual service of the Lord has neither satiation nor end. One can go on increasing his hankerings for the loving transcendental service of the Lord, and yet he will not find satiation or end. By intense service of the Lord, one can experience the presence of the Lord transcendentally. Therefore, seeing the Lord means being engaged in His service, because His service and His person are identical. The sincere devotee should go on with sincere service of the Lord. The Lord will give proper direction as to how and where it has to be done. There was no material desire in Narada, and had just to increase his intense desire for the Lord, he was so advised. Om Agina Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militamena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Vena Buttale Swayam Rupa Kadam Vayam Tiswam Sanantikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabhantu Jagapate Govesha Gupika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sanasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai So here the Lord is speaking to Narada Muni and he's informing him that he has appeared to him and then disappeared simply to increase his purity and increase his desire to achieve him. Srila Prabhupada states in the last sentence of the purport that Narada Muni was pure. He had no material desire. Yet just to increase his intense desire for the Lord, he was so advised. In other words, the conversation or the monologue of the Lord speaking to Narada is with that particular aim to increase his intense desire for the Lord. So, to reinforce the principle that was shared by Srila Devamrita Maharaj the day before yesterday, he was saying that this process, devotional service to Krishna, is endlessly ever increasing, ever expanding. You can really never reach the end of it. Therefore, it is said even in this purport today, there is no satiation. So you can never find the limit of devotional service. Where will you say, look, this is it. There is nothing more to be achieved in devotional service. I'm completely pure now and my relationship with Krishna is perfect and completely harmonized. This actually is the paradox in devotional service, that the more you serve Krishna, the more you hanker to serve Krishna, and the more you feel that there is a distance still to be traversed until we reach Krishna. So in that mood, in that consciousness, the devotees are always connected to Krishna but also feeling separation. This is the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of course the Six Goswamis. So Srila Devamrita Maharaj also informed us, based on the teachings of the Acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, for example, that Narada Muni was on the level of Krishna Prema. Therefore he was already pure. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport that Narada was already free of material desire. But the verse itself, it says that the more, you know, the Lord says, the more you will be freed from all material desires. So it's like almost a contradiction. The verse is saying one thing, but Prabhupada is saying another thing. But actually the Acharyas, they always perceive that there is always something in me to be purified. So although Narada was completely free of any material desires, still there was a room for improvement and for purification of that prema, etc. So it's an ever-ending purification and upliftment, expansion of that love that the devotee experiences for Krishna. So although it looks like a contradiction, actually Maharaj resolved it by saying that both things are there. In one sense, one is free from material desires, but one he still feels that I've got some way to traverse in my purification of my Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhupada's first statement in this verse is that nobody can, no living entity, in other words, can be free from desire, vacant of desire, Prabhupada says. Because the living entity is not a dead stone. There is difference between the internal energy of the Lord under which the living entity acts in a liberated state. The living entity is called Tatastha, Shakti. Living entity can choose whether to work under the internal energy or the external. When the living entity chooses the external energy, he develops material desires. Material desires means desires that are selfish under the illusory pretext that one can enjoy independently from the source of everything. So everyone in the material world, under the modes of nature, every person is thinking, I am the architect of my enjoyment, and if I perform virtuous deeds, I will certainly enjoy. So that's why people engage in karma kanda, because they believe very much that happiness is achieved through performance of materialistic activity, fruitive activity. Actually, this is refuted by the Bhagavatam, that you cannot really experience enjoyment through materialistic activities, because every materialistic activity has another side to it. Like you can do something good, but then always there is a negative reaction as well with the good reaction. Kadamba Kana Maharaj gave one example that hits the nail in the head, and perhaps by saying this example that wraps up the whole material experience. He said sometimes a doctor may cure a patient, so he's doing something good, but then the patient was actually a killer, and then now the killer is healthy and he goes and he kills someone. So the good thing that the doctor did, actually he cured the killer so he can kill people. You can understand, this is the material world. And even we can stretch this example to say that even if the person was not a killer of human beings, he's still killer of animals. So the doctor cured a killer of animals, and in other words, he did a good thing to him, but then he did something bad because he improved his health, and now this man has to kill more animals and get more karma. You see, so there is never just perfect good deeds in the material world. So this is material desires, although you're thinking I'm doing something good. I was here on the station waiting for the tram 2 days ago, and then one tram came from this side. It was number 11, I don't know what it is. I was waiting for 112. So the tram driver called us, you know, we were quite a few people, opened the window, he saw we were waiting and he called us. So we all went there. And he was thinking I'm doing something good, you know, because I'm calling all the people. But he doesn't know he's getting so many people who are going to the restaurant to get into sense gratification to commit sinful activity. You see. Well, the good fortune, if I can be counted as a devotee or whatever, aspiring devotee, he had a good fortune, he took one devotee on Harinam. So, you know, in that way he benefited. But generally, if there is no any person that is involved in spiritual activities, even if you do something good, he was thinking, these people are waiting, it's hot, let me call them, I'll take them to the town quicker. I'll do something good for them, you know. But actually, like I said, he's doing something that, you know, he's taking them quicker to perform their sinful activity. That's all. So, is there anything good in this material world, really? When you look at it? So, you should give up faith in material desires and material behavior, material hankering, because everything that you do is going to produce negative karma, negative reaction, and you're responsible for it. You have to suffer reaction for it. Material energy is completely strict. The material energy will not say, you know, because you're a good person, you have a good intention, you know, I will take the negative reaction away and I'll only give the good reaction. So that's why we have two bank balances, negative and positive, in this karmic world. And then the more one engages in karma, the more this bank balance becomes filled with more and more karmic currency that you can draw for the future. So some people understand this principle and they say, look, I have to become free of desires because the desire is what caused me to suffer. The desire caused me to perform certain negative activity or even the good activity. I have to come back even to experience the goodness. Therefore, I have to give up desire. They think like that. But Srila Prabhupada is saying that the living entity is not a dead stone. So if someone is not educated in the conclusion of the Siddhanta or Srimad Bhagavatam, if one is not educated in the Vaishnava conclusion, the Vedic scriptures, one will be baffled by their intellectual, mental capacity to think that the only way I can become free of suffering is if I become free of desire. Sometimes the devotees have spotted that even if you desire to become free of desire, that is still a desire. So you cannot become free of desire, ever. Interesting. So, therefore, we have to purify our desires. You see, the Lord disappeared from Narada Muni because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be free from all material desires. And the more spiritual desires is means hankering for Krishna. So you'll become more and more purified, which means your desires will become more and more spiritual. In other words, you will want to reconnect with Krishna, to perform devotional service and to reside with Krishna in the spiritual world. So this is called desire management. So desire management becomes with education, spiritual education. And then when you are educated, you use the intelligence, buddhi, to perform mind management and desire management. At the moment, the mind is like a clown. It's wild and sometimes it's standing on his head. Sometimes he's doing some funny jumps around and, you know, making jokes, trying to attract you to follow his dictates. The mind is saying, look, I can make you so happy, you should just follow me. So, like these clowns, sometimes they juggle things. You know, we saw yesterday one clown was juggling so many different things. So, people are attracted. They go there and they look at him and they spend a lot of time observing. He is attractive. So in the same way the mind does so many conjectures internally, projecting that enjoyment that you want to find in your consciousness, that my dear sir, if you just follow me, I'll make you happy. That is duty. Srila Devamrita Maharaj also said the mind is trying to get the central role on the stage. He wants to be the main character. So in that way, by proper education, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, we become situated in proper perspective, proper siddhanta, we understand the conclusion of the Vedas. Vedaischa sarva aham eva vidyo. I am the goal of the Vedas, Krishna says. And then we can perform mind management through the buddhi, through the intelligence. And then when we perform mind management, we naturally empowered to manage our desires, desire management. We can spot desires that are toxic at the moment, or if we are not so sharp in terms of studying the Siddhanta and hearing from the devotees, associating with devotees, chanting the holy name. So if we are not so purified, we cannot spot the toxic desire and toxic thoughts in the consciousness. In fact, we identify with them. But when we realize what is toxic and what is not, we can easily make the choice and disassociate and develop the spiritual desire instead, rather than being endeavoring to become desirous, which is impossible. So Prabhupada is encouraging us here in this verse by saying, the more a person is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the more he acquires a hankering for it. So just like an alcoholic, the more he tastes alcohol, the more he hankers for it, like that. So our alcohol is spiritual devotional service, sweeping the courtyard of the temple. You know, I saw the other day one person sweeping the courtyard, new person. And I was thinking, oh, very good. He's becoming attached to the Krishna alcohol and whatever, you know. Like that, we become purified. So, one becomes spiritually conditioned. One becomes attached to devotional service because there is a specific taste, ruchi, specific ecstasy, even we can say, that one experiences. Now, what is so special about devotional service? You see, devotional service is, because it is performed for the satisfaction of Krishna, there is no reaction incurred. Therefore, you know, one cannot experience pain due to devotional service. If one pleases Krishna, automatically Krishna nurtures that devotee through experiencing pleasure and happiness. That's how the Lord reciprocates. So devotional service is always susukam, always pleasurable. This is a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, susukam kartum avyayam. It's always ecstatic, because Krishna is the source of ecstasy. But if you perform materialistic activities, the reaction, like we said, even if it's a good activity, there is always a negative side to it. Just like if you touch fire, you can never, never not experience any burning sensation, any suffering, any pain. So this material world is called Maya. And Maya rhymes very nicely with fire. If you touch Maya, it's like you touch fire. And if you touch fire, you have to suffer. There is no way to avoid it. But if you serve Krishna, if you touch Krishna's devotional service, Krishna is a notion of rasa, of relationship, of ecstasy, and automatically you become filled with ecstatic bliss. In fact, sometimes I see devotees walking in ecstasy here around the temple due to their service. Sometimes they even forget where they're going, you know, like completely blissed out in ecstasy. You know, I'm just observing some devotees, and then they remember, oh, okay, I was going this way, and they change the direction due to the bliss. But the more one is Krishna conscious, the more one becomes not so much even interested in the bliss, but one becomes interested in how to please Krishna. So this is very interesting. Prabhupada says here something very, very powerful. Therefore, seeing the Lord means being engaged in His service, because His service and His person are identical. This is powerful, huh? If you see Krishna's service, you are seeing the Lord directly, because they are identical. Isn't it powerful? You just engage in devotional service, and that devotional service is Krishna. I'll repeat it so that you can see it's coming from Prabhupada's mouth. Therefore, seeing the Lord means being engaged in His service, because His service and His person are identical. So it's again dichotomy. Although you are not seeing Krishna, you are seeing Krishna. You see, because you are engaging in devotional service and you are directly connected to Krishna. So in that way, that ecstasy is experienced, that pure satisfaction. Prabhupada said, if you want to be happy, you should become devotee of Krishna. That's how he preached in 22nd Avenue. He was telling all these new people, everyone is trying for happiness, but you do not know how to do it. So if you just worship Krishna, because Krishna is the source of all happiness, Krishna does not experience any suffering. He's completely beyond the material energy. Therefore, by coming in contact with Him immediately, you are transcending the material energy, and you will experience that satisfaction you are hankering for. So to transcend the material energy, we have to engage in devotional service, because you cannot connect to Krishna unless you want to serve Him. There is no other way. So we have to look for devotional service. We have to always be opportunistic, trying to seize opportunities, how to perform devotional service. And in this way, if we are humble, this is the qualification, we will be able to experience Krishna. This is the key. If one maintains humility while we are performing specific service, if one is proud, we will definitely feel kind of bored, and we want to finish this service as quick as possible and move to other things. So humility is very much encouraged. So Krishna is doing like that. He appears before us, and then he disappears with the specific aim to purify us more and more, uplift us, bring us closer to Him, intensify our love and devotion for one another. This is actually what the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. So today is also Vasant Panchami. This is the beginning of spring in India. And on this day, actually, was the Rasa dance was performed, and then Krishna disappeared from the gopis, because he felt that the gopis were too kind of inebriated by their association with Krishna, so they were becoming a little proud. So Krishna disappeared from them, hid away from them. And then when they were looking for him, he appeared to them as Narayan in four-armed form. So the gopis were asking, they offered him obeisances, and they said, dear Lord Narayan, have you seen Krishna? You know, which way did you go? Did he go? And Tingdinabandhu Prabhu was saying that Lord Narayan pointed with his four arms in the four different directions. So this is one of their transcendental pastimes. And then of course, when Srimati Radharani appeared, Krishna could not contain his form of Narayan. So due to her purity, due to her pure love for him, he was completely unable to maintain the form of Lord Narayan. So immediately his two arms disappeared, extra two arms disappeared, and then the flute appeared in his hand, and the peacock feather, and then Krishna manifested. So on this day, devotees celebrate by offering yellow flower to Krishna. They say it's very pleasing to him. The ladies wear yellow saris on this particular day to please Krishna, to commemorate that pastime. And today also we have a couple of one disappearance day and a few appearance days. So I'll just briefly mention a few things about each of these great personalities. The first one is Vishnu Priya, the beloved consort of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in our tradition we also honor the lady saints. We are not macho culture that we only think that the man is to be honored. Sometimes it is said that the man is the guru of the woman, the husband is the guru of the wife. But the husband is a disciple of his own guru, therefore everyone has a guru. You know. So in that way even the husband is subordinate to someone, to the spiritual master particularly. So the wife is also the guru of the, for the child. So in this way everyone performs that role of guru. How you go? There you go. Going to the guru. So it is like a chain reaction. The spiritual master is training. Of course nowadays ladies also can take initiation and have a spiritual master, but in the traditional system it was the guru, the husband was disciple of a guru, then the husband was the guru of his wife, and then the wife was the guru of the children, like that. And amongst the ladies in our Krishna consciousness movement, we can also acknowledge such ladies as Sita Devi, Draupadi, Kunti Devi. I read something very interesting about Mother Kunti a few days ago and I'll share it with you. It's just mind blowing. In the first canto, 8th chapter, Prayers of Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti was called Sati in one of the verses. So what does Sati mean? Sati means chaste. Usually that title is given to a wife who is chaste to the husband, right? But in this case, Prabhupada says in the purport, she was called Sati because she was chaste to Krishna. Interesting, huh? This is the topmost chastity actually. So Queen Kunti was called Sati because she was completely chaste to Krishna. In other words, she was completely God conscious, completely devoted to the Lord. So all of us are meant to become chaste to Krishna, like that, completely devoted to Krishna. This is actually what the Bhagavatam's aim is, to bring us to that platform. So in this light we can understand that we can even learn from lady acharyas, from lady devotees. We shouldn't think, no, only the men can teach me something. Draupadi taught us how to surrender to Krishna at this crucial time of the when she was they tried to dishonor her in the assembly of Dhritarashtra's palace. Draupadi showed us that the only shelter is Lord Krishna. So in this way we should always be mindful that we should not minimize women in our society. Sometimes we make this offense of minimizing women. But Bhaktivedanta Maharaj said once that if you don't know how to treat woman, if you disrespect woman, you will disrespect the Divine Mother, Srimati Radharani, and you will never be able to go back to Godhead. So Srimati Vishnu Priya, she was just like Krishna has unlimited expansions. Similarly, his internal potency has unlimited expansions, and one of these expansions is Srimati Vishnu Priya. She appeared in this world to perform lila with the Supreme Lord. She
Gaura Sundar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
After the disappearance of his first wife, Lakshmi Priya, she was bitten by the snake of separation. And she departed for the spiritual world when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Gaya. So after that, Mother Sachi requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to remarry, because she told him, you know, who's going to look after you, and you're still young man, 22, 23, something like that, and who is going to help me in the household duties, so the best thing, you remarry. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being a very obedient son, again, the mother is the guru, he surrendered to his mother's desire, and he married Vishnu Priya, who was a very extremely chaste lady, devoted to him and to Mother Sachi, of course. But as you know, perhaps, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to spread the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip, he was offended by his own students. They didn't take him seriously, they criticized him, and he was feeling very morose. He told Lord Nityananda and the other devotees, I'm very depressed because I have come to this world to deliver these fallen people, but now I have become the cause of their degradation because of his chanting. One time he was chanting the names of the gopis, one of his disciples criticized him, one of his students actually criticized him, why are you chanting the names of the gopis but not the name of Krishna? So being in that neophyte consciousness, not understanding that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting the names of the gopis by honoring their purity and pure devotion to Krishna, he displayed transcendental anger and he chased that disciple, that student actually, and then that student's false ego became inflated and enraged, and then he was complaining to other students, and then the Maya became contagious, so everyone became sick from the Maya virus, and they decided to plot against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in fact to beat him up. So Mahaprabhu was very disappointed that this happened, and he said, you know, I have come to deliver these people, but now I'm becoming the source of their anxiety, and in fact I am causing them degradation. Therefore, I should just leave everything and I should take sannyas. And in that way, because I am taking sannyas at that time, the culture was such that people were respectful to sannyasis, and they would, follow the sannyasis' order, and they will listen from them, and they'll accept their teachings, etc. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Actually, something interesting, even today in India, people don't respect sannyas order anymore. Because of course there is so much cheating in the name of religion. So many cheating babajis and sannyasis are there, so people have lost faith. Even Prabhupada was saying, his father always used to bring some sadhus, but he never had faith in them because you could see they always dodgy. There is something wrong with them. So, and people have lost the culture even in India. Someone was telling me something funny the other day. Funny, but at the same time quite sad. On the boat trip when we went, and then at the end, one person who came there, he approached Maharaj and he pat him on the back and he said, Swamiji, it was great. Like, you know, he pat Maharaj on the back like he's his buddy, you know, this my buddy. Swamiji, it was great, you know. The awe and reverence is lost, you know. Usually people would go bow down before the sannyasi very respectfully and, you know, have that kind of a mood of my superior is before me. This person just rocked up at him, pat Maharaj on the back, and he said, Swamiji, it was great. So you can see how this culture is becoming lost. But the good thing is, again, that this person has come, is associating, and he'll get purified. But I'm just giving an example how the culture is lost, even in India. So nowadays it's very difficult. People are completely bewildered more and more by the illusory energy. So Mahaprabhu took sannyas. He told Vishnu Priya and Mother Sachi that he will do that, and Mother Sachi actually felt that he will do that. She sensed it. And Mahaprabhu sneaked at night. Mother Sachi was devastated completely. She knew that he is leaving, but she could not stop him. And then when Mahaprabhu left, what did Vishnu Priya do? She actually took the vow of renunciation as well. She chanted Hare Krishna on her beads, and as many rounds she chanted, she put one grain of rice aside, and at the end of the day she will cook that many grains of rice she had there piled after her chanting, and then she will cook that. So basically she lived very simply in a mood of separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she took very great care of Mother Sachi while Mahaprabhu was away. So this is the glory of Shrimati Vishnu Priya. Then today is also the disappearance of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and by saying few things about each of these great personalities on such days, we're definitely getting their blessings and we're making advancement in devotional service. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was actually born in 1685 AD and in the area of Radhadesh, in a Brahmin family. He became the acharya of the middle period after Sis Goswami's left this world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left already, Sis Goswami's had left, and then Narottam Srinivas and Shyamananda Pandit continued preaching. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur took shelter of Narottam Das Thakur, became his disciple, and after the disappearance of Narottam Das Thakur, he had to deal with a lot of misconceptions that had set all over India at that time. A lot of misconceptions like Sahajism. People were saying that Narottam Das Thakur was the king of the Sahajas. They took cheaply his intense mood of prema, and some Sahajas were doing so many abominable things in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that's why it's called the middle acharya, he was in that time really a pivotal personality who kept the Siddhanta alive. He continued preaching, he exposed many of these Sahajas, he strengthened up the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wrote commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, on Bhagavad Gita of course. He wrote many books. The most famous books are Ujjvala Nilamani Kana, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, and Bhagavatam Rita Kana. These are some of his most famous books. He lived about 70 years on this planet, extremely pure person. His disciple, most prominent disciple, was Baladev Vidyabhushan. And at some point, the devotees were criticized, our Siddhant, our lineage, Brahma Madhava Vaishnav Sampradaya, Gaudiya Sampradaya, was criticized that we don't have commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was 68 years old at that time. He was very elderly. His health was not so good, so he felt that the best person that could compile the commentary or write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra is his disciple Baladev Vidyabhushan, who did that very brilliantly, and in that way the reputation of our Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya was re-established. So after Baladev Vidyabhushana, I read somewhere that actually he lived so long that he was actually contemporary of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj took birth while Baladev Vidyabhushana was still present on this planet. Can you believe it? So he lived far beyond the ordinary human lifespan. Very interesting. So another personality is Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur was the son of Mukunda Pandit, who was actually a physician. He was a doctor. He was a very great devotee of the Lord. There is a pastime of Mukunda in brief, how he went to cure the local king, and while he was trying to hear the king's complaints about his illness, one of the servants of the king came with a peacock fan and started fanning the king. And when Mukunda saw this peacock fan, he remembered Krishna, Krishna's peacock fan, and he could not control himself and he fell on the ground, senseless completely. And due to the ecstatic love of Krishna, he was on a very, very high level of devotion. Basically, everything would enhance his bhakti, especially objects that reminded him of Krishna. So he fell to the ground, and when he came to his external senses, the king asked him, what's wrong with you? What is your disease? And he did not want to reveal his consciousness, so he cheated the king. He said, look, I'm a little bit sick from, I've got epilepsy. Sometimes I faint. But the king was very clever, because he could see the purity of this personality. He could actually sense that this person is very, very exalted, and this cannot be epilepsy. He's just hiding his purity. So Raghunandan Thakur took birth in that family. His father was such an exalted Vaishnava. So that little boy one day was asked, when he was small, by his father to do the offering on the altar instead of him. So the father had to attend to something urgent, as being a medical doctor. He just went away and he told the son, you just go behind the curtain, ring the bell, say the prayers, offer to the Lord this boga, he must accept it. And then he left. So Raghunandan Thakur went behind the curtain and started ringing the bell, chanting the prayers, but he was so intense in his devotion. And after some time he was seeing, the Lord is not taking my offering. So he kept praying, my dear Lord, what is this? I'm offering and you're not taking it. Is it that I am offensive to you or what? You know, please kindly help me. You know, I'm really bewildered. Why you're not taking the offering? And after some time of intense, deep meditation, intense desire that I need to offer this, the Lord must taste this. Then the Lord, the deity came down from the altar, little down, took the offering, ate it, and went back on the altar. So the boy was happy. Okay, everything was perfect. I did what my father asked me to do. Otherwise, he thought my father will chastise me. You know, I'm offering, but the Lord is not taking it. So he went to his mother, and the mother said, Where's the offering? You're bringing this empty plate. Did you eat it? He said, No, I didn't eat the offering. He said, no, you have eaten the offering. So he was saying, No, it's not me. The Lord Krishna ate it. So when she told him, okay, when the father comes, your father comes, I will tell your father and he'll chastise you. So when Mukunda Das came, the mother told him what had happened, so he could not believe his son, therefore, but he was thinking, maybe it is possible. So he told him, okay, you offer again on the altar and let's see if Krishna will take it. So he went behind the curtain, the small boy, starting to offer, so his father hid and he was watching. And lo and behold, the Lord came down and he took the offering and ate it in front of him. And then he realized, my God, you know, who is the guru in the family? It looks like it's him. And especially, there is a pastime Lord Chaitanya asked later on, when he heard of this pastime, when they were visiting him in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya said, now who is the guru, the son or the father? And Mukunda Das said, of course, my son is my guru. Because he has such an intense devotion that the Lord accepted his offering, he ate the offering. So this is another great acharya. So if you examine actually our Sampradaya, you'll see some really great personalities, extraordinary personalities. Like I already mentioned, Baladev Vidyabhushana, he lived far beyond his age, or human age. Narottam Das Thakur, when he departed from this world, his body turned into milk in the Padma River. He's just turned into milk. Amazing. No living a body like ordinary body like all of us. So we are dealing here with pretty far out personalities, and we should just pray for them to get their mercy. And there is a Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, one of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direct associates. In fact, we have Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita today because Raghunath Das Thakur was present in Jagannath Puri. He was observing Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and later on he narrated them to the six Goswamis, including Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who was requested to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Raghunath Das Goswami, in brief, was son of a very wealthy personality. They were tax collectors, his father and his brother. His father's name was Govardhan. And his guru's name was Sri Balaram Das Acharya. From very small, Raghunath Das Thakur was associating with great personalities. And one of the greatest personalities was Haridas Thakur. He was actually hearing from Haridas Thakur, who would visit his village and he would speak on Krishna consciousness. So from very, very small, he became extremely attracted to Krishna. And when he grew up, he made few attempts to escape home and avoid being married. Because he thought, why do I have to marry it? You know, I can just serve Krishna. I don't have to get married. So he didn't want to get involved in business, his father's business, and he just wanted to be with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he escaped. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you must return back to your home and stay with your parents for some time. But the desire was so strong that after some time he attempted to escape. He was caught by the guards of the father, brought back to the home. And then they decided, let's marry him to a very beautiful girl and maybe that will keep him. So they found the most beautiful damsel, heavenly beautiful girl, and they married him to her. But Raghunath Das Thakur was so much transcendental that he was not at all attached to her. He was always chanting and reading and meditating on Krishna. So he made an attempt to run away again. So again he was caught, and then his mother was saying, you know, probably we have to just chain him up in the home because this guy is so crazy, he's just trying to run away from family responsibilities. And then his father said, even if you chain him up, he'll break the chain. He's got the greatest obstacle on one's devotional service. You know, he's attached to this beautiful, I mean, if you he has this beautiful lady as a wife, and if he's attached to her, that will be the greatest obstacle. But because he is completely detached, even if you chain him up, he'll run away. So ultimately, after some time, he managed to escape when he felt that Mahaprabhu is now will be happy with his leaving home. So he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu, first the Panihati festival was held. So he fed all the Vaishnavas, and Nityananda Prabhu blessed him by punishing him with this festival, Panihati. And then later, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and stayed with him in Jagannath Puri. And there he will observe the daily activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his meditations, his chanting, his constant lamentation for the association of Krishna. And then he became an authority of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. He also got the covers of Swarup Damodar Goswami, and in that way he gave a lot of detail to Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. When he was in Puri, he was extremely renounced. He would offer 1,000 obeisances a day to so many people. He would chant the whole day. Initially, his father would send him money and he would feed the Vaishnavas and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But later on, he started stopping accepting this money, and he started begging in front of the temple, Jagannath Temple, alms from the people, pilgrims who came. But then he felt that he's like a prostitute, so he just even stopped begging doing that, and he started eating the rejected rice that was thrown, even rejected by the cows. It was thrown at the back of the temple there in some courtyard, and it was hard and whatever, so he'll just pick it up, wash it from the dirt, and then he'll just eat that rice. So Mahaprabhu went one day there, and he said to him, "Raghunath, you know, where are you? You know, what are you eating these days? I hear that you have become so renounced." You know, and Raghunath Das Thakur, you know, told him, "My dear Lord, you know, I just felt that whatever I was doing was improper, so I'm taking this humble rice that is here." So Mahaprabhu said, "Let me taste this." So he tried to stop him, but Mahaprabhu grabbed one morsel and he said, "I've never tasted anything better than this." So this is some of the moods of this great acharya. Of course, after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu, he went to Vrindavan and he wanted to commit suicide by throwing himself from Govardhan Hill, due to separation from Krishna, from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami told him that you cannot do this, because this body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Krishna. Therefore you cannot end this body prematurely, and you should engage in devotional service here. So he remained there, and he excavated Radhakund and Shamakund, and he wrote many scriptures as well, Mana Shiksha, Mukta Charita, Stavavali, etc. Many, many transcendental literatures he also wrote for the benefit of the devotees. And Raghunath Das Thakur was eating every day a little poundful of buttermilk. He was so austere, the whole day chanting. He slept like 1 hour a day. The first Bhajan Kutir was organized after him, because he was chanting on the sun and his head would burn, and Radharani would come and cover him with her sari, and Sanatana Goswami saw and he said, "What is this nonsense you're asking Srimati Radharani to serve you?" So they built him a Bhajan Kutir, because he was sitting under the scorching heat. In India sometimes can be 50 degrees. He did not feel anything, just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And then Radharani will cover him with her sari, the piece of her sari, and then she'll perspire herself. Sanatana
Prabhupada Goswami became so angry. How can you do that? And of course, because he was in ecstasy, he was not seeing that Srimati Radharani is serving him. At another occasion, Krishna protected him from a tiger. While he was chanting, one tiger came, and then Sanatana Goswami saw that the tiger is coming. And then he saw that Krishna appeared and he chased the tiger away. So this was Raghunath Das Goswami. Of course, he is one of the eternal associates of the Lord, one of the Manjaris from the spiritual world. I can't remember exactly the name of the Manjari, but
Rati
Manjari. Rati Manjari. Yes. So in that way, today he sees this appearance day, and how he disappeared is very interesting. He offered the feast of sweet rice to the gopis and Krishna, and because he was eating too little, that was, you know, in his internal meditation, he took too much. So basically, they found him the next day lying in his bhajan kutir, very, very, very sick. So they asked him, what's wrong with you? What is your disease? He said, I think I ate too much sweet rice because I offered it to Radha and Krishna. But remember, his too much is probably that much. You know, because he ate only a pound full of buttermilk. So too much doesn't mean he ate one bucket or something like this. So don't try to cheat and do that later on. Alright? Some devotees already prepare, you know, Raghunath Das. He did left his body like this. I can take one bucket of sweet rice. And then I can also become liberated in Vrindavan. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the last person. This is the appearance of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was Vrishabhanu in his ontological position in the spiritual world, the father of Srimati Radharani. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi was actually a king, and he was a great devotee. So he was a great personality, actually, very, very great devotee, very opulent personality. So one time, Mukunda Das, he told a Gadadhar Pandit, I'm going to take you now to one very, very pure devotee. So please come with me, I want to give you his darshan. So he took him to the house of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And when they entered inside, Gadadhar Das was very bewildered. He saw this amazing opulence. He was sitting on a bedstead, very flashy bedstead, studded with jewels. His clothes were shining, very, very beautiful silk. And his hair was nicely combed back with different oils, you know, and he had many rings, gold rings and other ornaments on his body, and he was enjoying some, drinking some nice juices prepared by his servants. Servants were fanning him and arranging things for him. He was lying like, really like, the topmost enjoyer, you know. Mm-hmm. So when Gadadhar Pandit saw this opulent house and this opulent person, he thought, this is a devotee? He looks like a sense enjoyer. He was thinking in his mind, he didn't say it. He looks like a sense enjoyer. But remember, Mukunda Das was very pure. And he just sensed the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. And when he realized this, then immediately he started to chant one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 10th canto, in relation to Krishna saving Putana, who came to kill him. So the verse is about how Krishna is so merciful that even the demoness Putana, who came to kill him by smearing her breast with poison, Krishna actually liberated Putana and gave her a position of a maidservant in Vrindavan. So he recited that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was lying peacefully there, when he heard that verse, something tremendous happened. His mood completely changed. He became ecstatic in love of God.
He got up from his bedstead. He fell to the ground. He started rolling on the ground in ecstasy, kicking all the objects around him, crying, tears, pulling his hair. Then he did even more crazy things. He got up and he took some of the objects and he threw them on the ground. And he was just absorbed in Krishna Prema, rolling and kicking and pushing everything in the house, breaking different objects. And when Garadhar Pandit saw this, he was completely blown up. He said, "What is this? You know, this is not ordinary. Just hearing one verse from the Bhagavatam and you like you just break your whole house, you know. That is completely extraordinary." I mean, we hear many verses from the Bhagavatam. The house is intact. In fact, we'll buy new things to make it even better for Krishna. But he completely lost consciousness. He started throwing and breaking and rolling on the ground, crying, pulling his hair, tearing his clothes. And then Garadhar Pandit said, "Wait a minute, I have made a huge aparadhya, huge offense, by calling this pure servant of the Lord, calling him Avishai, a sense enjoyer. Therefore, I have to take initiation from him." So Gadadhar Pandit actually took initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was extremely wealthy Grihastha householder, which also shows that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also fought to establish this, that an acharya can be actually a householder. A guru can be a householder, not just a sannyasi. He was a sannyasi, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but he preached very vigorously to establish this, because at that time some of the descendants of the Panchatattva and some of the descendants of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were trying to say that it's by bloodline and only sannyasis can be gurus and so many things like that, so many misconceptions. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi was accepted as guru to Gadadhar Pandit, and in that way Gadadhar Pandit rectified his offense by thinking ill of him. So today is his appearance day, Pundarik Vidyanidhi's appearance day as well, and we should try to pray to these great personalities, Vishnu Priya Devi, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunandan Thakur and Pundarik Vidyanidhi. We should make a prayer individually to all of them. "My dear great personality, whoever you are praying to, please kindly bestow your blessings upon me that I may reach Krishna Prema in this lifetime. I am very unfortunate, I am very fallen, I have got no qualifications, but this is my humble desire. Please kindly bless me to develop Krishna Prema. Otherwise, I will just become completely baffled by my material desires, and then I will continue aspiring for material pleasure, which is just a waste of time." So we are the most happy and blessed on this day, and remember, today you can offer Krishna some flowers. That's why the deity is addressed in this way also, because it's either saffron or yellow color is being put on this day. It's the first day of spring, and we can take a vow to become even more determined in our devotional service to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Andi Gauri Vaishnava Vrinda ki
jai.
Hindai Gaur Premanandi
ki
jai. Prabhu Krishna. If there is one or two comments or question, I'll take it, because it's 9 o'clock.
We wanted to tell us Panihati festival, how Vinanda Goswami paid obeisance for a long distance. And he
told him, "You're a thief."
And put his toe on his head.
Yeah.
And
his whole foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a transcendental pastime. Raghunath Das ran away. He went to Panihati, and Nityananda Prabhu was there, so he saw Nityananda Prabhu from a distance, and he offered obeisances. So Nityananda Prabhu chastised him, "You're a thief! Bring that thief, Raghunath, here, immediately." And he told him, "Why are you trying to get my mercy from a distance? I want you now to punish you now. And my punishment will be, you now feed all the Vaishnavas in the area." So he created the cheap rice festival, and they prepared so many delicious preparations of cheap rice for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas.
Mahaprabhu also came.
He appeared. When they were serving, you know, some of the devotees actually noticed Nityananda Prabhu is actually laughing and putting prasadam into Mahaprabhu's mouth, and the prasadam would disappear. Mahaprabhu was not seen, but Nityananda Prabhu could see, and few other Vaishnavas could see him. So some others who could not see, they were seeing that Nityananda Prabhu is putting, he takes some cheap rice from his pot and he's putting it somewhere in the air and it disappears. But actually Mahaprabhu was taking it. So in this way Raghunath Das Goswami blessed the whole community by this wonderful festival of cheap rice, and even today this festival is performed in the summer. I think so. It's June, July, that time I think it was done. We did it some years ago. You do it here in December, right? In December you do that? Yeah. We did it some years ago in January when Jayaprataka Maharaj was traveling, and he used to come and we were fired up, but then when he left, you know, kind of the devotees with the enthusiasm went down, so at the moment we're not doing, but it was so wonderful. I was here last year or the year before for that festival, and I was very happy to participate in the cheap rice festival, Panihati. Hare Krishna. Jai. Chi Granturaj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Jai Gaur Premanande.